The Avodah of Yom HaKippurim is found in Parshas Achrim, or is in Perek Zayin, and it seems to be structured in a very unusual fashion. The Torah begins by telling us, you're not allowed to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever you would like, even Aaron HaKohen. Rather, Aaron is only allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim after following the procedure, the protocol of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol. Then, only subsequently, does the Torah tell us, by the way, this is only B'chodesh HaShvi'i B'Esel HaChodesh, on the 7th month and the 10th of the month, and it's Achas B'Shana, only once a year. That follows the Avodah. So the Chochma Sadam, the Chai Adam, asks, he says, this is atypical from the way the Torah usually structures the parsha of the different mayadim. For example, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah lists all of the other mayadim with the karbonos that are brought in every mayad, first the Torah tells us it's, Pesach is the first month, the 15th of the month, and you bring such and such karbonos. Sukkot is the 7th month, the 15th of the month, and you bring the following karbonos. Yet here, the Torah tells us first the karbonos, the avodah that has to be brought, the procedure that has to be followed. And then, B'chodesh HaShvi'i B'Esel HaChodesh Achas B'Shana. Then it tells us the date. It's out of order from the way that the other Mayadim are presented, particularly in Parashas Pinchas. Moreover, asked the Chai Adam, at the beginning of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, at least the way it's presented in Parashas Achrimos, it seems to be focused only on Aaron. B'zois Yavai Aaron El HaKodesh. Only Aaron HaKohen. It doesn't seem to be addressing all subsequent Kohanim Gedolim. It's only at the end of the Parsha, in Parshas Achrimos, that then it begins to address the subsequent Kohanim Gedolim. All the Kohanim Gedolim who will fill the role of their parents, of their father. But why is it initially only addressed to Aaron HaKohen, and only at the end does it mention all subsequent Kohanim Gedolim? So the Chai Adam quotes in the name of the Gra that it's because the Torah is addressing two different groups of people here. There's two Parshias of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. The first is only to Aaron, that Aaron was able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he would want. Not only Achas B'Shana, not only B'Chodesh HaShvi'i B'Esel HaChodesh, throughout the year he was allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as long as he followed the procedure, the protocol of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Whenever he was allowed to do that, whenever he would want throughout the year, and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why the Torah begins only addressing Aaron, and that's why there's no date that's mentioned. It's not listed, limited to any specific date. It's only later that the Torah then goes on to address subsequent Kohanim Gedolim, beyond Aaron, that they're only able to enter Achas B'Shana B'Chodesh HaShvi'i B'Esel HaChodesh. And that's why it only begins to address subsequent Kohanim Gedolim and mentions a date at the end of the Parsha. The Meshech Chochma on Parshas Achrimos explains this distinction, that it's because in order to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Pasuk says, Ki be'anon eiro'el hakapoiris. It has to be full of smoke. Or v'chisa anan ha'k'tayres es ha'kaparis. It has to be full of the smoke of the k'tayres on Yom Kippur in order to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The only time the k'tayres was brought was on Yom HaKippurim. That was the only time it was full of smoke. So that was the only time the Kohen Gadol was allowed to enter. However, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol when Klai Yisrael traveled in the Midbar. And the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Pekudei, Ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yoimam ve'esh yelai laboy. There was constantly a cloud of smoke residing over the Mishkan in the travels through the Midbar. So Aaron, every day, was like Yom Kippur, was allowed to follow this procedure and enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It could be that that's why the Torah uses two different languages of introduction. Parshas Achrimos begins with the word Vayidaber. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Begins with Vayidaber. The next pasuk is Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Daber al Aaron Achich Val Yavo B'chol Esel HaKadosh. It switches to Vayomer. So Chaim Kanievsky asks in a Sefer Taima Dekra on Parshas Achrimos, typically we only have either Vayedaber or Vayoymer to introduce a Parsha, either one or the other, not both. Here you find both, Vayedaber Hashem HaMoshe, then Vayoymer Hashem HaMoshe. So he explains, because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Makos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that Vayedaber is something that's L'dayros, a mitzvah that applies for generations, not only for that generation, but all subsequent generations. And Vayomer applies to something that's just a Hayra Shah. That's something that only applies temporarily. So the reason why the Torah uses two different languages to introduce this parasha is because there's really two different conversations going on over here. There's Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, that was communicated to all subsequent Kohanim Gedolim. They were able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim only Achaz B'Shana, B'Kodesh HaShvi, B'Asa L'Kodesh. And that's Vayidaber. Vayomer is something that would only apply during that generation particularly, and that was only to Aaron HaKohen, and that was B'Zois Yavai Aaron HaKodesh. He was able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wanted, as long as he performed this procedure of the Avodas Yom Kippurim. The question is a very beautiful vart of the Gra, and you have the explanation of the Meshech Chachma, and that's the Chaim Kanievsky explains, that's why you have the two languages of introduction, but what does this have to do with us? Why is this mentioned in the Torah? My Dehava Hava. So Aaron HaKohen was able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wanted. Fantastic, beautiful. Why is that relevant to us? Why is it recorded in the Torah, L'Doros, if this is something that only applied in that generation? And I believe that it's because it's coming to instruct us that Yom Kippurim is not just limited, the experience of Yom Kippurim, the message of Yom Kippurim, is not limited to one day throughout the year. We learn from Aaron HaKohen, who was able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wanted, as long as he performed the Avod of Yom Kippurim, that procedure, that Avod of Yom Kippurim is something that has to affect us, that has to inspire us, not only on that one day of Yom Kippurim or this particular period of the Yomim Ne'raim, but it's something that we have to take with us throughout the rest of the year. And part of the Avodah of the day of Yom Kippur is to make sure that we bring this experience with us. The Torah describes that the Kohen Gadol would wear two different types of begadim, two sets of begadim. He had the Bigdei Zahav, the golden begadim, which he wore when he performed the Avodah that was outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he would switch to wear the big, when he would perform Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would switch to the Bigdei Lavan, the white garments. And as he would go back and forth, in and out, he would constantly switch garments back and forth. He wasn't able to wear the golden begadim inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we know, because it reminded the Ribbono Shel Olam of the Chet HaEgel, Ve'en Kategor Naaseh Sanegor, that which itself is the source of our guilt, cannot serve to defend us in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, at least within the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he would switch back and forth. However, the Pasuk tells us, V'rochatz b'saro u'uvesham. Rashi says he would go to the mikvah every time he switched begadim. So when he was wearing the Bigdei Zav and he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to put on the Bigdei Lavan, he would go to the mikvah. Then when he came back out, switching from the Bigdei Lavan back to the Bigdei Zav, he would again go to the mikvah and so on. So Reb Zevin asks, Reb Zevin in his Sefer L'Torah V'lo Mayadim, asks, he says, I understand why he went to the mikvah when he was going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He took off the Bigdei Zahav, putting on the Bigdei Lavan. He's going from the Kodesh, Eichal, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's elevating the status of Kedusha, where he's going from. So he has to go to the mikvah to elevate himself, to prepare himself. But how come when he's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's switching from the Bigdei Lavan back to the Bigdei Zahav, he also had to go to the mikvah. There he's going down in Kedusha. Ostensibly, he's going from the Kodesh HaKadoshim back outside. So why does he have to go to the mikveh there? What's he preparing himself for? So Reb Zevin explains that it's no, because sometimes the avodah that takes place outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is even more difficult than what takes place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. To serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, that's one madrega. But then to take that with you as you leave, to take that experience of Yom Kippur with you as you leave is sometimes much more difficult and more challenging. And that's why the Kohen Gadol would go to the mikvah again on his way out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because he was preparing himself or trying to arrange his mindset that he should be able to take that experience that he had in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with him as he left. Oftentimes, our focus, as it should be, during this period of the year, of the Yomim Ne'raim, is Diyashu Hashem Behimatzoi, searching for a Kodesh Baruch Hu when he can be found, and making the most of these precious days of the Yomim Ne'raim. But part of our avodah of Yom Kippur is to make sure that we don't ignore what happens afterwards. And we do our best to take this experience, this inspiration that we've had, and bring it with us throughout the rest of the year. And perhaps that is why Ne'ilah is such a critical time. The Rambam tells us in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Gimel, the famous imagery, that in Rosh Hashanah you have every person is judged by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there's a judgment which is made based on how many mitzvahs and how many averus you have. If you have more mitzvahs than averus, says the Rambam, it's a simple calculus, very linear, so then nechtam l'chai. And if you have more averus than mitzvahs, says the Rambam, nechtam l'misa. But if you have exactly the same number of mitzvahs and averos, at least that's the way the Rambam seems to present it, exactly the same number of mitzvahs and averos, either beinoni. So says the Rambam, ha-beinoni toilin oisayad yom ha-kippurim. He waits in limbo till Yom Kippur, Moshe Truva Nechtim L'chaim, then he is sealed for life, Imlav Nechtim L'misa. And if not, then he is sealed for death. So Lecha Mishnah asks, why does he have to do Truva? If he's exactly the same number of mitzvahs and averos, let him, give a dal to tzedakah. Now the scales are tipped in his favor, and he should be Nechtim L'chaim. It's a good question, Lecha Mishnah asks. Why does he have to do tshuva? The Rambam says, we wait until Yom Kippur, Masa tshuva, Nechtim L'chaim, and Lav Nechtim L'chaim. Why do you have to wait for tshuva? Let him do any mitzvah. That's a good question, Lecha Mishnah asks, and there are many fantastic and wonderful terutzim to that question. However, we could ask a different question. And that is, let's say he has to perform tshuva. Zolzayin Azoy, the only option for this Beinoni is to perform tshuva. But why can he perform tshuva on Sayim Gedalia? Why can he perform tshuva on the fourth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the fifth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and be Nechtam L'chaim then? Why does the Rambam say, Im Asa Tshuva, Habeinoni Toilim Asay Ad Yom HaKippurim, we wait till Yom Kippur, Im Asa Tshuva Nechtam L'chaim, and now Nechtam L'misa. Why do you have to wait till Yom Kippur? Why can't he do tshuva the fourth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the fifth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva? Why does he have to wait till Yom Kippur? And it seems that his din is not sealed at any point in Yom Kippur. When is the din sealed? When is he nechtam l'chaim? When do we change the nusach ha-tfilah? Ni'ilah. That's when it happens. You can't even be nechtam l'chaim at Shachris, or at Musaf, or even by Mincha. You cannot be nechtam l'chaim. When are you nechtam l'chaim? When is this Beinoni judgment finally sealed? When is he out of limbo? At Ni'ilah, when we change the nusach ha-tfilah from Kosveinu v'sefer ha-chaim to Chosmeinu v'sefer ha-chaim. Why do you have to wait till Ni'ilah? Why can't he be Nechtam L'chaim in Shacharis and Musaf? He decides to change. Fourth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Why does he have to wait till Ni'ilah? So explains Rav Moshe Chevroni. Rav Moshe Chevroni was a Rosh Yeshiva in the Chevron Yeshiva. And they say for Masas Moshe, that it's because anybody can have an inspired experience during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, even during Yom HaKippurim. That's not what seals the Beinoni L'chaim. What seals the Beinoni L'chaim is when it's something that's permanent, when it's something that's lasting. If it's just a one-time thing that he has a wonderful Yom Kippur and an unbelievable Aseret Yemei Tshuva, he learns, over here, 18 hours, whatever it is, the Torahathon, he has 1,000 sponsors, halavai. So, wonderful, it's superb. That's not what. That's not going to be Nechtam L'chaim. That's not good enough. What it is what is your mindset when it's all over? Are we running out, back to where we started? Where do we head from here? That is what is chasing the Beinoni. Not did you have a good Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Not did you have a good El. That's not what it's about. It's about what is our mentality, what is our mindset at the time of Ni'ilah. That's the indicator. And therefore, that's what is the only thing that could change the Gzardin or cement, seal the Gzardin of the Beinoni. You see, because the Yetzer Hara, he wants us to have a wonderful Yom Kippur. He does. That's part of his plan. Part of his plan. Pasuk tells us in Sefer Keheles, "Smach bocher b'yaldu secha, v'tiv chalibcha b'mei b'chur secha. Enjoy your youth. Halach b'darkei libcha. Follow your heart. B'marei einecha. Follow your eyes. V'da, but you should know, ki al kol eilo yiviyecha lekim b'mishpat. You should know at the end of the day, you're going to have to give din v'cheshbon. You're going to have to justify all of your actions." So the Gemara comments in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Samech Gimel Mibbeis, Ad Kan Divrei Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Hara's monologue. Mikan Ve'erech Divrei Yetzer Toiv. After that, Sefer Keheles resumes with the words of the Yetzer HaToiv. This is all the Yetzer Hara. So ask the Ksav Sofer. The Yetzer Hara wants to tell us, V'da, Ki Al Ko Eloi V'yecha L'kim B'mishpat. In the end, no. You're going to have to give an accounting. You're going to have to justify your actions. Why is that part of the address of the Yetzer Hara? I understand. Smach bocha b'yal du'secha, v'tiv chalibcha b'mei b'chor secha, enjoy your youth. Halach v'daki libcha mare enecha. That sounds like the Yetzer Hara. What is v'daki okol eilu v'yecha l'kim b'mishpat? How does that fit into his agenda? So explains the Ksav Sofer. Because the Yetzer Hara knows we're never going to do Averis always. He can't win. He knows that. He's smarter than that. So he knows he's going to have to, we're going to have a Yom Kippur. We're having our Aseres Yemei Teshuva. We'll feel good about ourselves. We're stark. We're steiging. It's, you know, we're doing wonderful. Everything is coming back into line the way it's supposed to be. That's part of his plan. Because if he would go the whole time, it would never work. He knows he would lose. So he wants us to have a good Rosh Hashanah. He wants us to have a good Yom Kippur because he knows what's going to be afterwards is we'll come right back to being victims, right back to where we were before. The Chai Adam gives a mashal to this of a person who's feeding animals. You know, they're stuffing the animals. People who breed animals want them to be as fat as possible because then the meat is more schmaltzy. It's a, you know, also they grow as fast as they can. So they're always feeding them a lot of food very quickly, stuffing them. So the veal, the whole shayla. Anyway, they stuff the animals very quickly so that they'll grow and produce more meat, and then they can chef them, you know, make more of a profit. But how do they get them to eat? So says the Chai Adam, what they do is they starve them for a few days, then they gorge the animals, eat as much as they can. Then they starve them again and gorge the animals again. That's how it works. That's how they feed the animals. Anybody knows? Anybody who was ever on a diet and then had a fast day? People think if you're on a diet, oh, this is a, you know, this is a reprieve. Now I don't even have to have a struggle today. It's a fast day. Yeah, I think they think they're going to lose weight on a fast day. I believe most people gain weight on a fast day. Counterintuitive. Why? Because you feel, I have, you know, now that I fasted the whole day, I could eat whatever I want, and people eat more calories than they ever would have eaten, you know, all the points and everything. They just started, you know, pulling out of their back pocket. Everything that was usher on the diet, now is mother, I fasted the whole day, I'm entitled to do this, you know. So that they end up gaining weight. My statistics are anecdotal, but I believe that is in fact the case. So, and that's the mashal of the Chai Adam. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants us. He wants us now to start. He wants us to say slichas and come and clap al chet and have a wonderful Yom Kippur. This is all part of the plan, Rabbi Yisrael. This is what he wants. This is where the goose who's getting stuffed with food, you know, and now we're being starved, and then he's going to try and stuff us again after Yom Kippur. And therefore, everything depends on what's going to be in the Ilo. We're going to be able to take what we accomplished, what we felt on Yom Kippur, we're going to be able to take that with us throughout the rest of the year. And the only way to thwart the plan of the Yetzer Hara is to take with us that experience. But unfortunately, it's much more difficult than you might think. Not only is the Avodah of Yom Kippurim structured in an unusual fashion, as we mentioned, but the entire Parshas Achrimos, where the Avodah of Yom Kippur appears, is structured in a very unusual fashion, a unique fashion. Parshas Achrimos begins with a full discussion of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, as we mentioned, which is Yom Kippurim is the holiest day of the year, Shabbos Shabboson, transcendent spiritual oasis throughout the calendar. You know, that is the day, holiest day of the year. Then the Torah transitions right after that, almost right after that, into the Parsha of the Arayos. The most vulgar acts of immorality appear in Parshas Achrimos. You're not allowed to have relations with your mother, brother, sister, daughter, all the worst possible things appear in Parshas Achrimos. Not supposed to engage in these acts of immorality. How does the Torah transition almost seamlessly from these two extremes? Avodah of Yom Kippur, Lifnai v'Lifnim, the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest place, the holiest day of the year, into the Parsha of the Arayos. Maybe you'll say, well, it's just, you know, coincidental that they appear in the same Parsha. They're really not related at all. Many times topics appear within the same Parsha. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're related all the time. Sometimes the relationship is a loose type of relationship. Well, maybe these topics are not related. You can't say that this time. You know why? You can't say these two parshas are not related. Because this same juxtaposition occurs in the Kriyas HaTorah and Yom Kippur. What do we lay in Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur in the morning? We lay in the first part of Parshas Achrimos, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. What do we lay in the afternoon? Yom Kippur by Mincha, the Kriyas HaTorah, only non-Shabbos, where we lay by Mincha, besides the Taina. But we lay by Mincha. What do we lay by Mincha? Not the typical Parsha of a Taina. What do we lay? The Parsha of the Arayos. The second half of Parsha Zachrimai. So this same transition from the two extremes, Yom HaKippurim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol, into the Parsha of the Arayos, occurs on Yom Kippur. We lay in these two Kriyas HaTorahs. How do we transition from one to the other? And when do we lay in the Kriyas HaTorah of the Parsha of the Arayos? Not at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Not when we, you know, we're still full from eating on Erev Yom Kippur. When do we lay in? By Minchan Yom Kippur. At that point, we're holding like Malachim. We've been fasting for 24 hours. You know, you could be wearing a kittel and a talis, and you've had the most wonderful davening so far. You've clapped out chait, you're ready to go. And now we have to read the Parsha of the Arayos at the end, the culmination, the climax of Yom Kippur. We read the Parsha of the Arayos. You know, I understand we have to be mechazik ourselves in these inyanim once a year, okay? Shaiva bim, what's half, read this Parsha. What are we reading it now? Mincha of Yom Kippur, the Parsha of the Arayos. How do we transition from one to the other? And the contrast is very stark. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Becheiros and Daf Nun Aleph Mibeis that it takes 40 days for a child to form inside of its mother. Mem Yoim of Yetziras Havlad. In fact, the Gemara says earlier than 40 days, the Gemara in Masechtas Nida refers to the baby as a Mayo Ba'almo. It's not considered to be a Vlad until after 40 days. So writes the Maharal that these 40 days correspond, they represent 40 levels, 40 aspects of every person's spiritual personality. That's what forms throughout these first 40 days. Perhaps that's why, it continues, it took Klal Yisrael 40 years to travel in the Midbar, to transition from being Avadim of Paray in Mitzrayim to being Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. Took 40 years. Why did it take 40 years? Corresponding to each one of these 40 levels of our spiritual personality, which had to transform, transition from being Avadim to Paray to being Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Kisavoy, we read a few weeks ago, the Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, "On a son Hashem lochem leiv lodas, einayim liros, oznayim lishmaya ad hayom hazeh." Kadosh Baruch Hu hasn't given you a heart to understand, eyes to see, ears to hear until today, which is after 40 years, at the end of their journey in the Midbar. So the Gemara comments in Masechtas Avodah Zarah and Daf Hei Amid Beis that we see from here that ein on the oimed al das rabbi, a person doesn't understand his rebbe until he's 40 years old or 40 years have passed. Well, that's for the source for the concept that you're not able to understand all areas of Torah, the Nister, the Nigla, until you're 40 years old. Why? What changes at 40? A person's spiritual intellect has finally matured. All 40 aspects of his spiritual personality have matured, and now he's able to understand all aspects of the Torah. Rashi continues in Parshas Noach that this is not only true of every human being, but it's in fact true of the world. That's why the Mabul took 40 days. Why? Because the world is reconstituting itself from a world of decadence and immorality to a world that was a much higher spiritual plane. And perhaps that's why as well, Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for how long? For 40 days. Because the world was transitioning from a world metamorphosizing, transforming from a world without Torah to a world with Torah. It's an entirely different type of world. That's why it took 40 days as well. So continues Moshe Wolfson in the Sefer Munas Itecha that that's why there are 40 saw in the mikvah as well. Because when a person becomes Tameh, all 40 aspects of his spiritual personality have been sullied, have been tainted. And it takes 40 saw in order to be Metaher, the person, to address all 40 aspects of this spiritual personality. The Maharal suggests, even on Parshas Kisetze, that that's why the Torah says a person who performs an Avera, how many times Malkus should he get? Arboim Yakenu, he should get 40 times Malkus. Again, corresponding to these 40 levels of his spiritual personality that he has corrupted, tainted, by performing an Avera. However, Chazal came and they lowered it to 39, as we know. You don't get 40 Malkus, you get 39. How did Chazal know to do that? How did they know to lower it to 39? Who told them? What does it say? Who stayed? And in fact, the Gemara says in Masechtas Malkus and Afchav Beis and Mebeis, Kama Tipshoi Shar Inchi. How foolish are people? The kami mikami sefer Torah, the kami mikami gavur rabba. They stand up. The Gemara says many people stand up for a sefer Torah, but they do not stand up for a Talmud Chacham. How foolish are they? Why are they foolish? The Gemara explains the ilu b'sefer Torah k'siv arboim yakenu. It says in the sefer Torah you should give a malchus 49 va'asur rabbanan ubatzur chada. Chazal came and they lowered it. It says 40 times Chazal came and they lowered it to 39. So whoever doesn't stand up for a Talmud Chacham and stands up for a Sefer Torah is a tippish. How did Chazal know to lower it to 39? But the Ron asks a different question. He says, it sounds like from this Gemara, who's due more covet, the Sefer Torah or the Talmud Chacham? Everybody say, who's due more covet, the Sefer Torah or the Talmud Chacham? Gemara says, huh? Talmud Chacham? How foolish are these people? They stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham more. So the Ran asks that it seems to be against the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Gimel Mebeis, how do you know you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says, we only have one pasuk about standing up, Ebnei Seva, talking about Da'at Pnei Zake, and you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, if Mipnei Loimdeha Oimdim, you have to stand up for those who learn the Torah, Mipanel Lo Kol Shekein, certainly you should have to stand up for the Torah itself. If you stand up for those who learn Torah, Talmud Chacham, they say Da'at Pnei Zake, certainly you should stand up for the Torah itself. Who deserving of more covet? Talmud Chacham or Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah. Say, ask the Ran. Ask the Maharsha. Seems to be against the Gemara Masechtas Makkos. The Gemara told Masechtas Makkos, how foolish are people who stand up for Sefer Torah and don't stand up for Talmud Chacham. Sounds like Talmud Chacham is due more covet. Here, the Gemara derives the whole obligation to stand up for a Sefer Torah as a Talmud Chaymer from a Talmud Chacham. So some distinguish between two different types of Talmud Chachamim. The Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddushim, Ibnei Loim Deha, that's a regular Ben Torah. Stand up for a Ben Torah with a yeshiva guy, stand up for a Sefer Torah. But the Gemara Masechtas Makkos is talking about a Gavar Rabo, like a Gadol Hador. So a Gadol Hador is do more Chachamim. I don't think the distinction is that satisfying. What I believe is a true answer to this question of the Ra and the question of the Maharsha is that, of course, which I think is the intuitive approach, Sefer Torah is due more kavod than the Talmud Chacham. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. Okay, and of course you should stand up for the Torah if you stand up for Talmid Chacham. What the Gemara is telling us in Masechtas Makkos is a different thing. Is that if a person stands up for a Sefer Torah and he doesn't stand up for a Talmud Chacham, he's a tippish. He's a tippish, he's a fool. Why is he a fool? The Sefer Torah is due more covet. But why is he a fool if he doesn't stand up for a Talmud Chacham? Because Chazal came and they told us, they lowered our boyim Yakenu to 39. Not 40 times Malchus, 39. How did they know to do that? And I believe the answer is because Chazal believed in our inherent goodness. Even if a person performs an Avera, and in theory he could have so it contaminated all 40 aspects of his spiritual personality, come Chazal and they say, no. There is one, if you will, Nekuda Pnimis, within each person that inherently wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's all he wants to do. And that has not been affected by the Avera that he has performed. And therefore Chazal say you should only get 39 times Malchus. There's one part of this individual that Nekuda Pnimis wants to do the right thing. It's deep down, but it wants to do the right thing. Therefore, they said only give 39 times Malchus. Now, a person who doesn't stand up for a Talmud Chacham, why doesn't he stand up for a Talmud Chacham? If he stands up for Torah, he respects Torah. Why doesn't he stand up for a Talmud Chacham? Because he sees a person here. This is not a Torah. This is a person with human faults and frailties. Why should I stand up for him? All he sees is the exterior. He doesn't see inside there's licht Torah. Inside of the Talmud Chacham, he contains knowledge of Torah. All he sees is what's on the outside. Such a person is a tippish, says the Chidah Milashem Pshat. Tippish Milashem Pshat. He's judging it by the surface. All he sees is a human being. Why should I stand up? And he's a fool. He's a tippish because all he sees is the pshat. And Chazal already told us, don't look at the surface. The human being is a balavera. Don't stop there. They darshan the remez, the soid, the drush of each person, and they saw inside each person is an akuta pnimis who just wants to do the right thing. And therefore it was only 39 times Malchus. And we could reclaim that part of ourselves, that pure, untainted part of ourselves, we could reclaim during this period of the year. The pasuk tells us in Parashas Kiseitze l'mochama loivecha, when you go out to war against your enemy. So it's well known that the Rebbe Rabbunim asks that of course you go out to war against your enemy. You don't make war with your friends. Obviously, it's an enemy. So why does it have to say oivecha? It's oivecha hayadua lecha. It represents the enemy that we all know, all too well. And who is that enemy? That is the Yetzer Hara. And when is this war that we have with the Yetzer Hara? When does it take place? During this period of the year, of the Yomim Neroim, as we say in David Hashem Oiri, Im Takum Alai Mochama, B'zayis Ani Boiteach. Right now, Rabbi Yisai, we're in the middle of a war. We're in the middle of a war with the Yetzer Hara. And the Pasuk tells us, in Parashas Kiseitze, V'ra'isa Ba'ashivya Eishas Yifas Tayar. And he sees in the middle of the battle an Eishas Yifas Tayar. Says the Ari HaKadosh, what does that refer to? Not literally, an Eishas Yifas Tayar, a beautiful woman. It refers to that better version of ourselves. That Nekuda Pnimis that we all want to be, that we all can be, that just wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's what we see in the midst of these Yamim Nairoim, of the battle with the Yetzirah. We see V'ra'isa B'Shevya Eishes Yifas Toya V'Choshak Tabor, and we want to reclaim it. We want that to be us. So says the Pasuk, what do you do? V'Choshak Tabor Uvachsa Saviya V'Simo Yerech Yamim. He has to cry for 30 days. Says the Zohar HaKadosh Yerech Yamim refers to Chodesh Elul. That we have to cry, we have to do tshuva during this period of the year, of the Yamim Nairoim, to try and reclaim that better part of ourselves, that untainted part of ourselves that just wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. That could be why the Sfasemis suggests, that's why the mazel of Chodesh Elul is psula. We have, so my guys, we have over here in official Beis Medrash, if you ever go in, underneath the carpet. They clean it like once every other year. So underneath the carpet, engraved in the floor, is a zodiac. So you can go over there, you can look at the zodiac, you'll see that the sixth mazel is a psula, Virgo. That's the sixth mazel. Why is it a psula? Says the Sfas Emes, because that's where the time of the year where we can find that Eishes Yafas Toya, that pure, untainted part of ourselves that we want to become again. That's during Chodesh Elul. And the day when we can reclaim that better part of ourselves, that person, that version of ourselves that only wants to do the Ratzon Hashem, that Nekuda Pnimis, the reason why Chazal said only 39 times Malkus, not 40 times Malkus, when can we reclaim that person, that better version of ourselves, is on Yom Kippur. The Bnei Yisachar writes that just like we said, there are 40 Sa'an HaMikvah, 40 times Malkus, to repurify us from performing a chait, from becoming tameh. The Bnei Yisachar says that's why there's 40 days as well in the period of the Yomim Nairoim, beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul, culminating with Yom Kippur is 40 days. Because on Yom Kippur is that day corresponding to that one-time Malkus that we don't get, that Nekuda Pnimis of ourselves, the better version of ourselves, who just wants to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam and do the Ratzon Hashem, that better version of ourselves we can reclaim on Yom Kippur. That's the 40th day. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, this is not a Chassidus of art, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, that HaSatan is Begematria 364. Why is it Begematria 364? Says the Gemara, because the Yetzer Hara has Shlita over us 364 days out of the year. But there is one day where the Yetzer Hara has no sway over us, has no influence. That's on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there is no Yetzer Hara. It's just the Nekuda Pnimis. It's just we want to do the Ratzon Hashem. In fact, the same Ramah in Shulchan Aruch has a sefer called Teiras Ha'ela. So the Ramah writes in the Teiras Ha'ela, why is it that the Zrikas Hadam, if you've ever paid attention during the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Zrikas Hadam, this part you can't miss, is Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, is one above the higher part of the Mizbeach, and seven towards the base of the Mizbeach. Why is it Sheva Lamata? And why is it Achas Lamayla? What's the significance of it? So the Ramah writes that it's because the Achas Lamayla represents the Yetzer HaTov. The Sheva Lamata represents the Yetzer Hara. Why is it Sheva Lamata? Why isn't it Achas Lamata? Just like Achas Lamayla, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov. So he quotes from the Gemara Masechta Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, because the Yetzer Hara has seven names. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the Yetzer Hara Ra, Moshe Rabbeinu called him an Orel, David called him Tame, Shlomo called him Soine, Shaya, Michshol, Yechezkel, Evan, Yoel called him a Tzvaini. Everyone has a different name for the Yetzer Hara. You know why? Because the Yetzer Hara changes. It's like a chameleon in every generation. What was a mitzvah in one generation could be a veira in the next generation. The Yetzer Hara is constantly changing with the times in order to remain relevant. So that's why it has seven names. Corresponding, we know seven represents, Maral taught us separate, seven represents all of Teva. Because he uses all of Teva to come and remiss, you know, and manifest itself in many different ways, in many different shapes and forms. That's why the Gemara also tells us in the Masechta Seirvan, Adaf Yutes Med Aleph, that Gehenim has seven names. Gehenim is referred to in seven ways. By Tanakh, again, because the Yetzer Hara has seven different manifestations representing all of Teva. That's why the Pasuk says in Sefer Mishlei, Rabbi, so you're probably familiar with this Pasuk. Kisheva, Yipol, Tzadik, Vekam. Once heard a drasha about Kisheva, Yipol, Tzadik, Vekam. The Tzadik falls down seven times, and he remains persistent every time he gets up. Why does he only fall seven times? Why not 10 times? Why not 50 times? We've fallen, unfortunately, many times. Why is it only seven times? The answer is seven, again, represents, as the Rama taught us, seven represents all the different names, the different manifestations of the Yetzer Hara. That's why, before Tkiyas Shofar, why do we blow two times Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? During Shemana Esrei and before Musaf. Why do we blow two times Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Kedei, says the Gemara, La'arbev es ha-satan, in order to confuse the Satan. What do we say before we blow Tkiyas Shofar before Musaf? What do we say? We recite psukim. How many psukim do we recite? Seven psukim. And what is the Rosh Tevis of this? Is in the Siddur of Rosh. And what do we say in the Rosh Tevis of what is the Rosh Tevis of those seven psukim? It's already the article I probably pointed out. What is the Rosh Tevis? Kara Satan. Because this is Kedela Arbe Vesa Satan. Why do we say seven psukim? Again, the Ramah taught us seven manifestations representing all of Teva. So that's why it's Sheva Lamata Achas Lamaila. Why are they Lamata and Yom Kippur, says the Ramah? Because there is no Yetzer Hara in Yom Kippur. There's no Yetzer Hara. Doesn't exist. Hasatan, 364 days out of the year, not on Yom Kippur. If that's the case, Rabbi, so the question now begs, we can't ignore it. Why do we lay in the parsha of the Arahis by Mincha? There's no Yetzer Hara. It's the holiest day. We're reuniting with the Nekuda Pnimis. That Eishas Yifas Tyra that we saw, the Psul of Chaydish El, now we're reuniting with our better part of ourselves. And now we have to read at Mincha of Yom Kippur, as we're like Malachim, the Parsha of the Arayas? Why? How does this fit in with the general theme of the day? I believe that the answer is found in the very name of Parshas Achrei Mos. You know what the name of the Parshas Achrei Mos is? Everybody say, I just told you. Achrei Mos. Achrei. Why do we need to mention Nadav and Avihu again? The sons of Aaron who died. Achrei Mos, Shnei B'nei Aaron, recover some of the Hashem V'yamusu. Appeared earlier in the Chumash, Parsha Shmini. Why is it mentioned here again? And why is the name of the Parsha Achrei Mos? It should either be something to do with Yom Kippur or the Arayas. You'll tell me you're telling too long in the name of the Parsha. It's not that important. Okay, but why is the name of the Parsha Achrei Mos? I believe the answer is because it's coming to instruct us what our mentality has to be on Yom Kippur. Yes, Yom Kippur, there's no Yetzer Hara. Yes, Yom Kippur, we're like Malachim. But there's going to be an Acharei. There's going to be an after Yom Kippur. And that's why by Mincha we lay in the parsha of the Arayas. This seems so far from you now. Oh, does this seem distant? The last thing in our mind on Yom Kippur is these Arayas we read about by Mincha. But don't think that it's not going to come rushing back the minute after. Don't think the Yetzer Hara is not waiting there licking his chops, you know, after Ne'ilah is all over. Don't think the Son of Abba Yerushalayim, don't think that he's not waiting for us, lying in wait. We've fallen right into his trap. We could fall right into his trap, right afterwards back to where we started. And that's why we read about this by Mincha, to make us aware that there's going to be a tomorrow. There's going to be an Acharei after Yom Kippur, and we need to already start planning for it. That's why the Pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Achrei Mos, Ushmartem Atem, at the end of the Parsha of the Arayas, Ushmartem Atem, Es Chukoisev, Es Mishpatev, Lo Yisasem, Ikotoy, Vo Yisraelim. And you should keep my chukim, my mishpatim, and not perform any of these abominations. So the Archaim HaKadosh asks, why does it say Ushmartem Atem? And you should keep. You could just say Ushmartem is a conjunction of Ushmartem Atem. You should keep. So why does it say Atem again? Ushmartem Atem. It's redundant. So Chaim HaKadosh says, yeah, you. Don't say, Ushmartem, them. You know, Yenem. No. You. As you're holding by the highest Madregas on Yom Kippur and the highest, you know, echelons of the Lamas Hal Yenem, don't think that this doesn't apply to you. Ushmartem Atem. The Yetzer Hara is waiting for us right after Yom Kippur. And we have to formulate a plan already by Mincha of Yom Kippur. We have to start thinking what's going to be afterwards. How are we going to take what we accomplish on Yom Kippur with us throughout the rest of the year? And we have to plan. Because without a plan, there's no way we can be successful. Pasuk tells us in Sefer Hosea, we read it last week for the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuva. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Aleikecha ki choshalta baveinecha. You should do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you have stumbled in your sins. Famous Pasuk. The Malbim asks that there are two ways Klal Yisrael is described by the Torah. Sometimes we're described as Yisrael, sometimes we're described as Yaakov. Are they just interchangeable or they have some significance? So the Malbim explains they're significant. Yisrael represents when we're doing the Ratzon Hashem. Higher Madrega, we're referred to as Yisrael. When we're on a lower Madrega, we're not doing what's right, we're referred to as Yaakov. So I asked the Malbim, this pasuk doesn't fit in with the general rule. Because it says, Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Aleikecha, Ki Choshalta Baveinecha, because you have stumbled in your sins. If you stumbled in your sins, you're not doing what's right. You're not on the highest madrigas of Avodas Hashem. So why should say Shuva Yaakov, Ad Hashem Aleikecha? Why refer to it as Yisrael if it's Ki Choshalta Baveinecha? Moreover, the Gemara comments in Masech Yuman Daf Pevav, Ad Hashem Aleikecha, Shuva can reach until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara's a discussion, Ad Vilei Bechal, Ad Kisei HaKavod. Shuva is so great, it could reach even until the Kisei HaKavod. Who are we talking to over here, Rabbi Sam? We're talking to about Shuva. Ki Choshalta Baveinecha. He's still doing Averis. Maybe he wants to change, okay? But what are we talking to him about Kisei HaKavod for, you know? Kabbalah. The first place we take him to is the Kabbalah Center. What are we talking about? Ma'isim HaKava and the Kisei HaKavod. Let's teach him Hebrew is right to left. Take him to an old pond. Maybe teach him a little Chumash. What's with the Kisei HaKavod? What's the talk of Kisei HaKavod? So explains of Chaim Freelander, the Mashgiach from Panovich and the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, that it's because the Baal Tshuva, when he begins out on his path of Tshuva, returning to the Ribbono Shel'olam, he has to know what he's striving for. He has to know what the goal is, what the mission is, what's the plan. And therefore we tell him, Shuva Yisrael, you could become a Yisrael. That's what you're striving for. Now you're a Yaakov. But you could become a Yisrael. You have to have a plan. And that's what we tell him about Kisei HaKavod. That's what we're striving for, is the Kisei HaKavod. It's a beautiful vart. But I always wondered, why is it only until Kisei HaKavod? Is that like the highest place we could imagine? Or maybe, again, maybe it has some deeper significance. So I believe it has deeper significance. And the deeper significance is the following. The pasuk tells us in Parashas Vayishlach, that when Yaakov Avinu arrives in Shechem, Vayatzev Shem Mizbeach, he builds a Mizbeach, Vayikra Loi Kela Lekei Yisrael. And he called him God and the God of Israel. Yaakov Avinu arrives, builds a Mizbeach, Vayikra Loi, he calls him God and the God of Israel. So what is the proper title in the pasuk? How do you read the pasuk? Who's calling who what? Sounds like a joke, but who's calling who what? So Pasha Taich is Yaakov called the Ribbono Shel Olam by Yikra Loi, he called him Kel, God, the God of Israel. The problem with learning the Pshat and the Pasuk like that is then Yaakov Avinu calls the Ribbono Shel Olam him. And it's not with a capital H. It's Loi, he called him. Yaakov Avinu is addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam him. The Torah is describing the Ribbono Shel Olam as him. It's odd. By Yikra Loi, Kel Elokei, Yaakov Avinu called him. He's not his friend. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not Yaakov Avinu's friend. He's calling him God and the God of Israel. So therefore, Rashi says the proper title in the pasuk is Vayikra Loi, that the Kel Hakadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov Avinu Vayikra Loi Kel, comma Elokei Yisrael. He called Yaakov Avinu Elokei Yisrael. Now that's odd. Yaakov Avinu is Elokei Yisrael. So the Ramban already writes that's the proper title in the pasuk, and Yesh Bazeh Soed Gadol. There's a great secret, but he doesn't tell you what the secret is. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a secret. Yesh bazeh soed gadol, which usually in the Ramban means, Rabbi Shavel points out in the footnotes of the Ramban, usually means it's a davar nistar, an Indian of Kabbalah, and the Ramban doesn't always spell it out. But it means that there's a significance to this, but it doesn't tell you what it is. So Salvechik suggested, or Shachter quotes in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, that perhaps what it means is that we have no way of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is so distant from us, as the Rambam writes, that the part of the mitzvah is uvoy sidbak, we should connect ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is eish oichla, says the Rambam. How can we attach ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The only way we can attach ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is by emulating Talmid HaChachamim, by emulating tzaddikim. So how do we attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is through emulating tzaddikim. Who is our role model? Is Yaakov Avinu. That's what we're striving to be like. That's why role models are critical. They give us a vision of success, a game plan. What are we looking for? What's our mission? What's the goal? Our goal is to be like Yaakov Avinu. That's why he's referred to as Elokei Yisrael. He's the God of Israel, not a deity. What he means is that's the way we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And perhaps that's why it's Gedayla Tshuva Shemagas at Kisei HaKavod. That's why Tshuva is so great, that it reaches up into the Kisei HaKavod. Why? To the Kisei HaKavod. The pasuk tells us in Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu arrives at the Makom HaMikdash, he's running away from Esav, and he falls asleep and he has a dream. And he dreams of a ladder, v'nei sulamutz of arts of ereshim agia shamayma. The ladder's feet are on the ground, the top, the head is in the sky. And the malachim going up and down on this ladder. Where are the malachim going to? So the Medrash tells us the malachim are going to the Kisei HaKavod. The Baal HaTurim writes, Sulam, Begematria, Ze, Kisei HaKavod. They were going up and down to the Kisei HaKavod. Why were they going up and down? Up, once he went up, why did they come back down? Once they came back down, why did they go back up? So the Medrash explains, because they went to the Kisei HaKavod, and they saw Yaakov Avinu's image engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. That was one of the images on the Kisei HaKavod. Then they came back down, oh, 1 minute, we just saw him. They came back down. Oh, there's Yaakov, same image. They went back up. Was the same guy? They went back up. Double take, you know, up, down. Well, same guy. Same image. So they came down and they informed Yaakov Avinu, hey, your image is on the Kisei HaKavod. That's why when Yaakov Avinu wakes up, so the Pasuk says, he says, Achein, Yesh Hashem, B'makom HaZev, Anochi Lo Yadati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this place and I didn't know. But writes the Sefer Nefesh Chaya from Chaim Eliezer Vox that Achein is B'Rashi Tevas, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. The Navi Yecheskel tells us that there are four images on the Kisei HaKavod. To steer in the Navi Yecheskel, what images they were. But it's because it changed. But the final four images that are on the Kisei HaKavod are Aryeh, Kruv, a lion, a Kruv, a cherub, and a Nesher. And an eagle. So Yaakov Avinu says, Achein Yesh Hashem B'makom HaZeh. I knew that on this makom, on the Kisei HaKavod, there were three images. Achein, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. Anochi Lo Yadati. Anochi, that I was one of them. And Anochi says in Nefesh Chaya, B'Rashi Tevas, Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, Yaakov, that I didn't know. I didn't know I was there, and the Malachim had just informed him. But that's why Gedayla Tshuva Shemagas at Kisei HaKavod. Because where is Yaakov Avinu's image inscribed on the Kisei HaKavod? And we're striving to become like Yaakov Avinu. That's the goal. That's the mission. So we tell about Tshuva. Gedayla Tshuva Shemagas at Kisei HaKavod. You could become a Yisrael. You could become like Tzadikim. Why do we have to tell about Tshuva this as he begins his process of Tshuva, Tshuva Yisrael? Because you need a plan. You need to know what the mission is. We need to know what the goal is. And so too, as we conclude Yom HaKippurim by Mincha, we need to already start thinking about the future. We need to start thinking about how are we going to take this with us after Yom Kippur. And Mincha is the time to start thinking about it, not afterwards. Afterwards, already too late. We're already falling back into the trap of the Yetzer Hara. We have to start thinking about it now. I believe the same is true for yeshiva. You know, it seems like now it's perhaps an endless period of your life, but for most people, I guess present company excluded, but most people end up leaving yeshiva, Rabbi Sai. Even if you go into chinuch or rabbanus, you'll end up leaving yeshiva. And this, you'll see, is the easiest time of your life. You might not see it like that now, but whatever responsibilities, whatever tirdus you have now, you don't even know what the word responsibility means. And when you have children and a family and parnasa and other things going on. And the time to plan for the future, how are you going to take that which you accomplish with you in yeshiva, is not at graduation to start thinking about, well, how am I going to take this with me afterwards? That's not the time. The time is when you're still holding in the middle of Yom Kippur, when you're still in that period of that oasis in your life of spirituality. That's the time to start thinking about how am I going to take this with me as I leave yeshiva, how are we going to take that which we accomplished with us after Yom Kippur? And we have to start thinking about it now. And I believe that there are two lessons that perhaps we can derive from the Kohen Gadol's experience in the Avodah of Yom Kippur and the Kodesh HaKadoshim that perhaps could help us in this regard. And the first is, the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol and the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, Kohen Gadol performed his Avodah all by himself. The Pasuk says, Ko Adam lo yiyeh ba'omayeh b'vayel l'chaper b'kodesh atzeisai. No one else was there. He did it all by himself. No one was watching. So writes of Pinkus in his Sefer Tiferes Shimshon and Parshas Afremos, that this is not only critical for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, it's instructive for us the whole year long. And that is, we have to get used to doing things sometimes by ourselves. I know maybe it sounds sacrilegious. You know, chavruso, misusa, it's wonderful to have a chavruso, it's wonderful to have a chevra, and these things are wonderful, and you should always try and have them. But at the same time, you have to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam to learn Torah by yourself at some point. It can't only be about a chavruso. I'll tell you why. I see from my own personal experience. Because people who are so dependent on a chavruso, you know what happens? Chavrusos do a terrible thing, but they do it a lot. It's called cancel. They don't come. Because everybody has things going on in their life. And most professions have what's known as a busy season. Two words you don't want to ever hear, but busy season. And then guess what happens when your chavrusa has a busy season? You have no chavrusa. And then what happens to your learning? You have no learning. If you're dependent on your chavrusa, it's all over. So you can't be dependent on a chavrusa. So you have to be able to operate on your own. It's wonderful to learn in a base medrash, but you have to be able to learn in your house. If you're always going to have to run out to the base medrash, you have other responsibilities, you'll see it's not possible. A person has to, sometimes you have to stay in your house. So you have to be able to learn in your house. You have to be able to learn on your own. You'll see in the summertime, and while you also, during Bein Hazmanim, you have to be able to learn when the Chevra is not around, when your Chavrusa is not around. Of course, we should try and surround ourselves with a wonderful Chavrusa, but you have to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam by yourself. And sometimes we could even accomplish more by ourselves than we can with a Chevra, than with a Chavrusa. The Pinkus gives a mashal to this of a pressure cooker. It says, how hot does water boil at? Everybody says, what temperature does water boil? I know you guys are not chefs yet, yeah? Pasta probably you can make. What temperature does water boil at? Boils at 212. If you live in Denver, it's a little lower, probably 203. Right? But it depends on atmospheric pressure. What temperature does water boil at in a pressure cooker? After 212, it turns into steam. It can no longer exist. But in a pressure cooker, which is sealed off from the atmospheric pressure around you, so then that water could get much hotter than 212. Much hotter. So to say, with Pinkus, this is a mashal to Avodas Hashem as well. That if a person is outside, he's exposed to the atmosphere around him, he can only get so hot. You can only get as hot as the atmosphere will allow you. And therefore, you're restricted by the atmosphere. You're supported by the atmosphere, that's true, and that's a positive. But you're also restricted by it, and you can only get so hot. But if you're by yourself, you're in a pressure cooker, so then you could even get hotter. You could even get to Madregas you couldn't reach if you would be part of the atmosphere. It's an opportunity. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that even though there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah by Yom Ubalayla, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah always, Ein Adam Loimed Rev Chachmosa Eila Balayla. A person only learns the majority of his wisdom at night. Therefore, says the Rambam, Lefichach, Haroi Tzaliz Kais B'Keser HaTorah, if one wants to be Zeicha to the Keser HaTorah, Yizahir B'Chol Eiloisav. He should be careful with all of his nights. How does the Rambam know, Ein Adam Loimed Rev Chachmosa Eila Balayla? You know, some people are morning people, some people are night people. Usually, if you're a night person, you'll marry a morning person. If you're a morning person, you'll marry a night person. It never works out that you're both of you. Whatever it is. So, morning people, there are night people. So, how does the Rambam know? Ain't of them lemmed reif chach mosa ala balayla. So, I believe that the answer is because there are many wonderful things that a person could accomplish at night and unique aspects to learning at night. But one thing I think is universally true is that at night more people are alone. You have a full base medrash during the day. At night it's emptier. A person can sit at his home and learn. A person who sits at his home and learns all by himself could sometimes accomplish more than he can in a full base medrash. Like the pressure cooker that Pinkus told us about. And that's what we have to learn from the Kohen Gadol Zavoida, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that it was Lo Yovo Kol Adam Lo Yiyah Bo Yomoy L'Chaber B'Kodesh HaTzeisa. He was all by himself, and that's something that we have to try and take with us from Yom Kippur throughout the rest of the year. Part of our plan, in order to take with us the inspiration, that which we accomplish in Yom Kippur throughout the rest of the year, has to be to perhaps learn from the Kohen Gadol to be successful, to accomplish, even when we're by ourselves. Perhaps one additional message that can help us take that which we've accomplished in Yom Kippur with us throughout the rest of the year is from the Keteres of Yom Kippur. The Pasuk says, with regards to the Keteres of Yom Kippur, that it should be Keteres Samim Daka. It should be very finely ground Keteres. The spices should be very finely ground. So the Gemara asks in Masechtas Yuma on Daf Mem Hei Amibes that the Keteres was always finely ground. The Pasuk says in Parashas Kisisa, Vishachakta Mimena Hadek. It should always be finely ground. So what then is different about Yom Kippur than the rest of the year? The whole year long, it's finely ground. V'shachakta mimena hadek. What's Keteres Samim Daka? Says the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, Daf Mem Hei Amibes, L'Havi Daka Min Hadaka. It should be mamish, you know, really finely ground. Smaller than the rest of the year. Why is it smaller than the rest of the year? What does that represent? Says the Imre Yemes, it's quoted in a sefer called the Likutei Yehuda, says the Imre Yemes like this. He says, it's coming to teach us on Yom Kippur to value small things. Even daka min adaka. Really small things we should value in Yom Kippur. The Imre Yemes continues and he asks, why is it that we don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur? Why? Why is that part of the Inuyim of Yom Kippur? So he says, because the Hoya law, when a person wears shoes and he walks on gravel, he walks on sand, you don't feel the little pebbles and the little grains of sand because our feet are dulled by the shoes. However, on Yom Kippur, when you don't wear shoes, you step on a rock, you'll feel it. You step with your sock, you'll feel it. It's a little grain of sand, you'll feel it. Because on Yom Kippur, we have to understand the significance of even small little things. Those things are important too. Small accomplishments, small averus we have to fix, and small accomplishments we have to savor. We have to understand that those are choshev. They shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't dismiss them. We shouldn't disregard them. And so too, moving beyond Yom Kippur, beyond yeshiva, little small accomplishments are choshev. They're important. You know, Shabbat Shuva is the shortest Kriyas HaTorah of the entire year. Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah of the entire year. How do you know? No matter how the calendar works out, it's the shortest Kriyas HaTorah of the entire year. Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because if there's a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot like this year, we read Hazinu that Shabbos, Nitzavim Vayelech are separated, Nitzavim always to be the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, and we read Vayelech, Shabbos Shuvah like this year, which has 30 psukim, shortest parash in the Torah. If there's no Shabbos between between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, okay, 2 years ago, so then Hazinu is read, Shabbos Shuvah, Nitzavim Vayelech are combined in the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim Vayelech combined to 70 psukim. The second shortest parash in the Torah is parash of the Zayis HaBracha, 41 psukim. We never read that on a Shabbos. That's always read on Sukkot Torah. So the third shortest parash we read, Shabbos Shuvah, which is parash of Hazinu. So either way, however the calendar works out, the shortest Kriyas HaTorah of a Shabbos of the entire year is Shabbos Shuvah. Isn't that surprising? After Shavuos, when we declare our allegiance to the Torah, and how much we're interested in learning Torah, what's always the parasha we read right after Shavuos? It's the parasha we read right after Shavuos. Always, Parashas Nosai. The longest parasha in the Torah. Why? We're showing the Rebbeinu Shalom, we're serious about what we said. We want to learn that we can't get enough. Give us the longest parasha you got. We're ready for it. Here comes Shabbos Shuvah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Rebbeinu Shalom is analyzing, weighing everything we do. Now we start cutting corners. Bayelech. 30 psukim? Why? Hazinu in a bad year. Why? Explains Rav Palm that the Kriyas HaTorah is teaching us how to go about tshuva, instructing us, and that is to understand the importance of small things. 30 psukim, chashuv, take it. Little small accomplishments, take it. Understand it's chashuv. I see, in my own experience, people who learned in yeshiva for a long time often don't appreciate it, because you see what real learning is. And then when they go out of yeshiva, they're disappointed with what they have. You're not able to learn up a sugya like you used to. You don't have the time. Okay, I understand. But understand the things that learn. And therefore they give up. I'm telling you, rabbis, it happens. I'm telling you, it happens. And they give up on serious learning. They learn other things. Navi. I'm not saying that point, but you should be able to learn also. Understand things that are chashuv, even if you're not doing it to the highest madrega, all of it. Understand even 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, black gemara here, black gemara there. It's choshev, it's important. Midterms are going to come. We all know it happens every year, Rabbi say. You know, a few times, finals, midterms come. You will not have as much time, I guarantee you, as you had now. But we have to understand that still don't give up. That's not a reason not to come. If you could come for half an hour, come for half an hour. Last thing is, you know, that they say in 1991, in the middle of the first Gulf War, you guys only went around for that, Scud missiles were falling in Eretz Yisrael, a very scary time. So Rav Shach, related to Diane Dunner from London, that year he had been makabel on himself in Rosh Hashanah, a schus for the, you know, to be protected in the middle of the war, to always bench from a sitter. Not from a bencher. Maybe before he benched by heart. The great Rav Shach. The great Rav Shach. In the middle of the war, Scud missiles were literally falling in Eretz Yisrael constantly. A bench from his desk as best as we can do? That's as good as it gets? Rav Shach? And he answers, yes, Rav Shach understood that real change happens through small, realistic, attainable goals. We're so focused on the big idea, Rabbi said. The big goal, we want to finish this and finish that. It's wonderful. But understand the importance of little things. And Rabbi said, Amir Hashem, if we do that, we try and do our best to plan at the Mincha by Ne'ila, how we're going to take the experience of Yom Kippur with us. Then Amir Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, will help us in this. We're going to help us be successful to bring it with us throughout the rest of the year, to bring our experience from yeshiva with us throughout the rest of our life. And Amir Hashem, inscribe us all for a Gemara v'chassim. I wish you all good Gevurah Shalom.